flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They could pull away from the Utah Jazz last night to go to St. Louis, but they do get back to 500 at 23-23. You heard from Tim Roy right there, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. Hell, it became a one-point game in the fourth quarter, 199. Warriors will go on an 11-2 run, capped off by Pods 3. And Pods is playing well since he's returned to the lineup in three games. He's shooting 45% from three, but not a game you're going to write home about, not a game you're going to go to your wifey or your husband or anything and say, hey, you know that one game against the Utah Jazz back on January 28th, 2025? What a doozy that was. Well, it wasn't, because Utah decided to sit John Collins, Larry Markkanen, Walker Kessler, and many others, Jordan Clarkson. And the Warriors didn't have Stephen Curry, nor Draymond Green, nor Jonathan Kuminga. So, you know, stack a win however you can. Hope guys play well. And a lot of guys did play well. But as Tim said, competition ramps up today against Oklahoma City.
Monte, I'll take any win we can get at this point. And there's no need for me to try to poo-poo a win. But it was hard for me to not feel the lack of energy just in general on that game. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that's like crushing the NBA or whatever. But I swear to God, I felt like a Cactus League game in March had more energy than that game. That was bad.
It was bad basketball.
Give Sexton credit for playing hard as hell. I thought Dennis Schroeder played hard. I thought, you know, Guy Santos played hard. A lot of guys really were playing hard. There is some small things to take away that I think are positive developments. Pajemski's playing good basketball right now, I feel like. And his confidence on his shot from the outside, it just looks a lot better. It looks more rhythmic to me. And so there are little things to take away.
Little things to take away, no doubt. Little things to take away. Can you stack and build that momentum into the night against Oklahoma City? And then Friday against Phoenix. And then Monday against Orlando. So Pods, 5 of 12 last night, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 of 6. I like his pacing right now.
Me too.
He made all 6 of his free throws. Go figure. The Warriors, the worst free throw shooting team in the league, shot 80% for the free throw line last night. Andrew Wiggins, you wouldn't know it, but he's shooting a career high 80% for the free throw line. 80% for Andrew Wiggins. Career high for him. So, look, there are some things you could build. Dennis Schroeder, 8 of 20, and he had a scare in the third quarter. At the 8:41 mark, he goes out. It looked like his knee had shattered, but he re-entered the game with 3:21 left in the third quarter. So, only missed 5 minutes to change, and he's ready to roll. So, can you get Buddy Hield rolling? Well, Buddy Hield, another night, another forgettable night for him. 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 for 4 from 3, 2 points in a starting role, which was their 27th starting lineup. Now, when you bring up the energy, I walked in for a second.
27th? That is great. 27 different starting lineups.
27 different starting lineups. So
that's crazy.
You know, it is, and this is why you're 23-23, and this is why you're quote-unquote mid, because you don't have consistency when it comes to your lineups. And
27.
They need bodies in a hurry, right? They need bodies. So you talk about the energy being in it. So you're watching it from your television. I went down.
Yeah, I'm watching it from my TV.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to go to the tunnel just to get a sense of what was like. Because
am I wrong?
Bryce City was packed.
Okay.
Bryce City was packed. Hello Kitty bobblehead night. Everybody's going crazy for Hello Kitty. You know, I can't believe how big Hello Kitty
is. Well, it was huge in the 90s. My sister, was it Sanrio? I forget. Whatever. Anyway, there was a place in Stonestown that she used to go to all the time, and all her and her girlfriends, like, Hello Kitty was huge.
Right. Hello
I'm
Kitty.
Just going through the prism of my sister.
Well, it's still big because Thrive City was packed. Thrive City was packed.
That's crazy. It's still
Hello
a thing.
Hello Kitty. Yeah, no, it's still a thing. Hello, a lot of people texted, yo, can you grab me a Hello Kitty bobblehead? Hello Kitty bobblehead.
It was the Kitty bobblehead. I guess I didn't see it. I'm going to look it up.
Well, I have it in my backpack because I'm bringing this to somebody, give it a special
gift. Here we go.
There's a Hello Kitty bobblehead.
Let me see it. Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yes, yeah, not bad.
Hello Kitty. I think
what
it lights
could you
up
get
too
on eBay right now? I'm just teasing.
Oh, I should see that, actually.
Oh, I see. First thing, I put a. They're going for $65 right now
That's
on
it?
eBay.
That's it?
Somebody has a photo of it on the floor of the Chase Center. 250, 288. Wow. I mean,
I see.
That's going for more than a Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis card.
Yeah, let me see.
Those are like $3.
Those are like $3. Yeah, I'm seeing 65. Well, the Klay Thompson captain hats were going for like $200, $300.
It's crazy.
Which is crazy. So anyway, I see one. Wow, $200 right here for the Hello Kitty package deal. Yeah, I do see the one on the floor. Wow. So they're going to go like hotcakes anyway. So I walked in the arena during like the second quarter, early second quarter, kind of get a sense of the juice or the energy. And there was a lack of energy.
Okay,
it was flat.
So I even asked
Kareth after the game, saying, you know, what was it like? And she was like, it was a bit flat. But think about it. So Utah decided, you know what, last night, we're just going to chill. And think about the people who are inactive. Jordan Clarkson, John Collins, Taylor Hendricks, Walker Kessler, Lowry Marketed, and their first-round pick, Cody Williams.
Well, and
all inactive.
The excuses they used for – excuses. The reasoning that they used for Lowry Marketed was like lower back maintenance.
Right. They had a back-to-back yesterday against Milwaukee – or 2 nights ago against Milwaukee. But I don't – they're pooping for Coopin'. They're going to try to poop for Coop. Cooper Flag. Right. That's what they're doing. I don't know, the young man out of BYU who got paid $7 million to go to BYU, they're going to try to stink for him too. Just to have them in their home state to see what Salt Lake City and the state of Utah is about.
Do they have the most white guys in the league?
Probably, but Utah.
Or is it Boston?
I would guess Utah. Utah's got a lot of white guys.
Hauser. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Utah's got Filipowski and
Pritchard.
McHaluk, and they've got Walker Kessler. They've got Markkanen. They've got Drew Eubanks. Micah Potter. Micah Potter. They've got a lot of white guys on Utah.
They do, dude.
Even Johnny Juzang didn't play yesterday, the young man from UCLA.
I liked him.
I did, too, but he didn't play yesterday. Apparently a right-hand fracture or whatnot. So, listen, man, Utah's not trying to win a basketball game, and yet...
Listen to what we're saying.
They're not trying to win
games.
They're 10-35.
You're not wrong.
I mean, they were 1-9 entering this game in their last 10. 1-9. Like, I'm telling you, it's impressive how teams just laid out and lose.
Can I ask you a question? They've lost
7 in a row.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
As someone who loves the league as much as you do, clearly, and you know that I love watching basketball, and I've been doing more because I got the little guy in the early afternoon. I've just turning games on because of YouTube TV. Like, there'll be just games on all the time. I feel like Detroit's on every day at 4 o'clock. But the league as a whole, just the NBA, the big stories right now. De'Aaron Fox wants out of Sacramento.
Wants out.
Jimmy Butler is suspended for the 8,000th time in a month. He wants out of Miami. And then a bunch of teams are actively trying to not play. It's so weird.
So let's look at the teams who are not trying to win. Washington, Charlotte,
yes,
Brooklyn, and Toronto. That's four teams in the East.
Wow, it's four teams in the East.
Now, in baseball, you'll get some teams.
No doubt. I've got baseball comments, this is not exclusive to just the NBA.
So Utah, New Orleans, and Portland. Now, Portland is 18-29.
I feel like they're trying.
They're trying. I'm not going to put them in that category. New Orleans has been littered with injuries. Brandon Ingram, Zion. So it's tough for me to put them in that category.
That's a good point.
But really, five teams. Utah, Washington, Charlotte, Brooklyn, and Toronto. And hell, Washington may be trying. By the way, Washington's lost 14 straight games. In case anybody's wondering, they've lost 14 straight games. They already had a month
in
November.
Are they the White Sox of the NBA?
Absolutely. I mean, they went through the month of November and they didn't win a game.
I've never met a Wizard fan.
They've won one game in the month of January, which happened on the 1st of January against Chicago. First day of the new year they win, they've lost 14 straight.
So where I'm going at with this is that I watch my team, the Warriors, and I say to myself, like, at least I understand those five teams. And I'm sure at any point, if I were to just pick the league, there'd be four or five teams that are actively tanking as well. Like, this is not just a this year exclusive thing. But I'm looking at the Warriors and I'm just like, God, and I know trades are hard. Both teams have to want what you have, and blah, blah. We're just we're in this inner tube and we're just floating off into the ocean. And it's like, I want them to just do something. They gotta do something, pick a direction. I'm watching that team last night and it's just a bunch of used parts all playing. And I'm not mad at those guys for trying hard. But if you've been watching the Warriors for the last couple of years, you got an attachment to Looney. Maybe you have an attachment to Moses Moody because he's a young player. Pods, you know, but it's really hard to just cling to this team right now. And, right. I'm wanting any reason to cling to this team. And I'm having I love this team and I'm having a hard time. I really am. And I don't think I'm alone.
Hard time just watching?
Just being engaged.
It's tough to be engaged. I
just
hear you.
Just being engaged. But, and I'm not saying that they're not trying. I don't want to say that players or staff or organizations
are. Here's how I get engaged.
Of course they're trying. I'm just saying the product I'm watching is really tough. Well,
but
to
you
watch.
Know what though? You know what though? A lot of people ask for this. And what I mean by that is a lot of people have been bitching and moaning about the youngsters playing. So the game like last night, and this is the Utah Jazz for crying out loud. So I don't want to use this as an example, but how many calls have we taken the last 3.5-4 years about seeing more Moses Moody?
Well, I'm okay with Moses Moody
playing.
All
right, so that's one player. We're seeing more Moses Moody.
I want to see more Quentin Post. I want to see more Gee Santos.
We're seeing more Quentin Post.
That's not good. I have zero attachment to Buddy Hield. And then GP2, right. Like, it's just, he's a nice guy. It's run its course. I love Looney.
All right, relax for a second. Hold on. Quentin Post. So you're getting more Quentin Post.
Yes.
You played 16 minutes yesterday.
16.
10.5 rebounds. That's fine. What do you want to play? 30? He's not ready. He's not ready yet. He's not ready to play. He was tapping out in the Laker game.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? He's got to get his cardio up. This is the NBA. You're not just going to walk in here from the ACC and all of a sudden play 35 minutes.
But if no one's playing and you're playing the garbage Utah Jazz and he's getting 16 minutes, like, you can't get that to like 24.
You also try to get a win, too. You also try to get a win. And he did have 4 fouls. So you go Looney for about 24 minutes. He grabs 11 rebounds and 6.
No, Looney was good yesterday.
He scores 6 points. All right, Pods played 33 minutes. Schroeder played 34 minutes. A guy you flipped. Now, Buddy, it's funny how Buddy's driving everybody crazy now. Far cry from what happened the first 3 weeks of the season. And trust me, I remember all the phone calls. But he only played 22 minutes last night.
Feels like 21 too many.
Well, you got to play somebody.
That's the problem.
You know what I'm saying? You got to play somebody.
You're right.
Lindy Waters is in a deep funk. Pat Spencer's going up and down from Santa Cruz. You don't have Stephen Curry. So somebody's got to play. And he played 22 minutes. Now, TJD only played 6 last night. Moses Moody did his thing with 15 points, and he saw 28 minutes. And Andrew Wiggins saw 33. So against the Utah Jazz, where you don't have some of your main cogs there, I thought Steve Kerr did what he had to do. GP2 only played 10 minutes last night. He only played 10 minutes, and Steve Kerr figured it out right away. Okay, GP2 may not have it tonight. I'm going to have a quick hook on him. I'm going to ride the guys like Paz. I'm going to ride Andrew Wiggins. I'm going to ride Moses Moody. And I thought he did that last night.
I'm just saying, for the consumer right now, it's really hard to muster up energy for
you be a
lot of these combinations.
If you're a casual basketball fan, this
it's not about casual.
You.
It's about watching good basketball, and I think no I'm doubt. Spoiled, and I
you're
admit
spoiled.
That.
Yeah,
I've gotten really spoiled.
Listen, last night was set up to be a dud.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying the overall big picture of this team, I think for a sports fan, either there's going to be some emotional investment, or I feel like we're building to something, right? Or we're going all in. We're trying to win a championship. Like, there's a variety of ways to lure me in. And I think that this roster is really missing the mark right now. I know we've all said the same thing. Moves. You got to make a move. What are you going to do? Pick a direction. And it's just like, man, this trade deadline can't come fast enough. I want to know the direction of where they're going.
It sounds like, what if they don't make a trade at the deadline?
I think that would be a giant mistake.
How would you react?
I think a lot of people would react, look, I'm not going to do this because I love it and I'm going to watch it and I'm addicted and it's my job. But like, I think a lot of people are going to tune out. That's what we did to the Giants. You can't play all the used parts and be mediocre and say, what, you don't like this? It's like, no, like we've told you, like, either you're building to something or you're going in on making a run. And right now this team is doing neither. And so saying that we're not making a move is like, we're staying together till the kids graduate high school, then we're divorcing.
Can I ask something? Because you mentioned how there's no attachment to
Buddy
Hield.
Am I spoiled?
Yeah, you are spoiled. But we all are. We all are.
I admit it.
And that's why I make this mention all the time. We're going to find out who the real ones are. Because a lot of people, if this thing starts descending, a lot of people are going to check out. And a lot of people are going to say, yeah, we're not watching Warrior basketball. We're going to check out. It's going to be like the Giants of Farhan Zaidi. But at least I know Farhan, I never had trust into Farhan. I never had trust into him fixing an organization and rebuilding an organization and putting out a winner. In a weird way, I do trust Dunleavy and Lakeham a lot more than I ever trusted Farhan Zaidi to fix this thing and turn it around. Now, you got the Steph Curry dilemma here. The Steph Curry dilemma is going to be a problem, right? But, when you think about this team right now and where they're at, I got to ask this question. Would we have more fun watching this team if Klay Thompson was on it as opposed to Buddy Hield? Because the reason why I bring that up, because Buddy Hield's been brought up a lot recently. And I find it funny because the first month of the season, people were dunking on Klay to build up Buddy Hield, and everybody's going crazy over Buddy. Now Buddy's shooting 30% from three since the 1st of December.
Well, their numbers are very similar.
But it's a different team, though, right?
No, I'm
it's
saying a different like opportunity. Klay's numbers this year and Buddy's
very
numbers
similar,
this year.
But
there's an attachment to Klay, and I think the question you're asking.
Attachment to Klay and a different situation in Dallas where he may not even be the third option. He may be the fifth option. Buddy's been elevated as a higher option on this team. But at least with Klay, we knew he was chasing history on any given night. There was going to be some record in play or something. With Buddy, it doesn't feel like he has a feel of the offense anymore. I think his confidence is down. And it's been a hard watch. It's been a hard watch watching him defensively. It's been a hard watch watching him offensively, trying to find it. His confidence right now has been sapped. It has.
But this thing about, like, everyone lost their minds. Yeah, we did for 3 weeks. And then the last 12 to 15 weeks, we've said, this guy's garbage. Like, that's what we've been saying. So, you're right. We all lost our minds the first couple of weeks, and myself included at the top of the list. But for the last 12 or 15, I've been pounding this guy and saying that he's not that good.
I don't know. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on with Buddy
that's what I'm saying.
And I've been telling everybody that
the question about Klay Thompson. Here's what I would say. And I think this is where people are like, hey, pick a direction. If you wanted to give me the final bow out send out of, hey, we're just going to watch our legends retire and we're not going to compete or whatever, then yeah, you should have kept the whole band together. But if you are truly trying to make a difference and compete, well, then everything should be on the table. Like to me, this is where they kind of made the mistake a couple of years ago, and I don't want to go down this road, but it's like, then the year that you said goodbye to Jordan Poole, you should have said goodbye to Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. Like, if that's what you wanted to do, you can't patchwork it, and Dre stays, so we have some of the nostalgia, but, you know, Klay goes or whatever. Like, again, this goes back to picking a lane. I think that they've been kind of have one foot into two different directions for an entire time, and now we are where we're at, which is kind of no man's land.
You know what it is, though? I think they were picking a lane, and I think the lane was going down to Jonathan Kuminga Avenue. Even though he wasn't starting, he was seeing 30 minutes a night.
Okay.
And he was starting to get empowered. He was starting to come up. He was starting to become empowered within the offense. And then he got injured. And I think that one injury alone, because Jonathan Kuminga represents the whole quote-unquote two-timeline thing.
I would agree.